It's Tim Shiel on Double J.
Without further ado, welcome to Double J, Damon Albarn. Damon, how are you? Where are you?
I'm in London. Yeah.
It's that kind of year, isn't it, where you kind of have to check what day it is, where you are, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we're about to enter into a new period of blackout, you know. So I don't know how long we've got left walking the streets.
Yeah. Well, Australia's in a similar position. Melbourne is just coming out of
everyone's,
that. Everyone's going in and out. Yeah. And it feels like I'm falling in again. Well, from what I know, you've spent a bunch of the year, you know, a bunch of this very strange year in Devon. And I was kind of curious, how did you end up there? And maybe for an Australian audience, can you describe Devon? Like what that is?
Devon, I suppose, Devon's beautiful. I mean, Devon's like next to Cornwall. The coast is very dynamic, very high cliffs, very ancient history. It was like a different part of the UK. It was sort of quite independent right up until the like 8th, 19th century. It was quite different, had their own language. So it's still a very beautiful part of the country, you know, a lot of countryside. Yeah, national parks, moors. And I've had a place down there since 96. In fact, it was the first thing I ever bought when I had a little bit of money. And for a long time, it was like, why did I buy this? It's so far away from everywhere because it takes like 4 hours to get there.
Right.
But this year, it became like, wow, I'm glad I did that. Because all my family were able to go down there and we all just stayed in the middle. I mean, because I don't have a house. There's not really another house in like two, three mile radius. So for England in particular, that's a lot of space. I mean, not that it's all my land, but it's on next to a national park. So it was just really isolated.
Mm.
Perfect, really. Perfect to work. It's next to the sea, so I got to swim every day and watch the seasons, really. I mean, really tuned into being in the countryside and the natural world. Meanwhile, when I went into my barn, I was like, you know, talking to people like Robert Smith and Elton John and Beck and Kano, all these amazing people, and St. Vincent, you know. Had a lot of great conversations. I actually talked to your man, Tame Impala, quite a few times, but we never seemed to get our tune finished.
So there is, what I'm hearing there is a song floating around that someone just needs to get finished.
Yeah, there were a couple of things actually, but they didn't make it onto season one. I mean, but we were definitely in conversation several times.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear because, you know, I did want to get to this, but I'll get to it now, you know. Incredible list of collaborators for season one of Song Machine, like breathtaking. Even you, I imagine, must look at that list and think that's wild. But no Australians on that list, Damon.
It is very eclectic, but I think that's the nature of Song Machine as an idea. Is that, you know, when I started last October and we put Slow Tie and the Slaves together. There was no idea about how it's going to end. In fact, the last tune I did was in May, and it was very late in the day, and that was with St. Vincent. I didn't know about Elton. I didn't know about Robert Smith. I didn't know about any of those when I started it. So I didn't make an album. I didn't set out to make an album. I just set out to make standalone Song Machine episodes.
Mm.
And then at the end, I got my friend Stuart Lowbridge, who's always done great kind of track listing and playlist for me, to take the songs and put them in an order, and out came this, you know, really quite good album, I think, and we called it Strange Times because what else are we going to call it?
Are And that song with Robert Smith, Strange Times, so you were working on that during lockdown this year. So that song really is that right? Like that song is kind of a reflection of the moment we're in at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, that is Pink Panther. The Pink Panther.
Now that I want to hear. I want you and Elton John to team up on a new version of the Pink Panther theme. The old Henry Mancini. Can we do that?
It's entirely possible.
So the project, you know, I guess you've just sort of answered this, but I'm curious, like, given you really wanted to commit to this project as a series of singles, is there something even disappointing about putting it out as an album? Were you tempted to resist the urge to pull it together and say, here's a record?
No, because they do sound really great in that order, and it sounds, you know, I don't think I could have written an album that good, you know what I mean? I can obviously write episodes that good, but then when they're put in and turned into, which is now really quite an old format, kind of took quite an old-fashioned way of looking at music, they've kind of got a new life in that context, you know. So it's got both things, and I mean, I'm going to start season two as soon as I can, really, because season one, it felt like it was a positive thing to have done, so I'd like to do season two.
When you're trying to find collaborators for this project especially, like, are you working at this point through a bucket list? Like, I've never done a track with Elton John. Let's hit him up and see what we come up with.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't really work like that. I mean, the Elton John song came out of a conversation I had with Jamie maybe a year ago. And this is a true story. When I was seven, I was picked up from my school gate in Elton John's pink Bentley Phantom 5. Now, which obviously, without finishing the rest of the story, sounds peculiar at least. Yes. But the actual story is that Elton John had, in the previous month or whatever, just come back from USSR and done a tour of the USSR with his band, but had been paid in coal. So he didn't have any money to pay his musicians. So he gave his musicians gifts. And his percussionist, Ray Cooper, who happened to be a family friend, was given this huge car, pink car. I don't know if Ray really was that happy that he had to drive around in a pink Bentley. But anyway, so I got picked up in this. And on the back seat, he'd left a few Elton John's singles. And one of them was Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds. So for years, I thought that Elton wrote Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds. And I always remembered this journey I took in this amazing car, you know. And I told Jamie, and Jamie said, you've got to turn that into a song. We've got to get Elton. You've got to sing about that song, that experience. So, that's like 43 years ago.
Yeah.
Something that happened 43 years ago. So it's mad, really.
It's bizarre.
The evolution of songs sometimes is quite weird. Weird, but true.
It's so, I mean, Damon, I imagine so much of your life is kind of weird to a point where it just is sort of normalized, maybe.
Yeah.
I think we're all sort of feeling that way a little bit in 2020.
But I think we all feel like that now. I think
that's it. That's it. So we're processing season one of Song Machine from Gorillaz. You've told us that there is a season two that you're going to get started on as soon as you can.
I've got lots of ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you have to. I think, you know, if you get into seasons, you know, I like that. I like the dynamic of season. I like the fact that you don't have to finish it before you start it, you know. You can announce it before you've even thought about it. But I have thought about it a bit.
I'm sure you have. I you know, you're such a productive guy, Damon, even during lockdown. Do you worry about the fact that you might be making the rest of us look bad?
I've actually just come back from Paris, where I did an opera. Everyone involved in it, we just couldn't believe that we were actually doing it. I was working with 60 African musicians for 6 weeks out there.
Mm.
And every day when we got to rehearsal, and then when we entered the theatre to do the dress rehearsals and all the staging, I think we all just felt this is miraculous. How is this carrying on for so long with so many people? You know, we were practicing all necessary social distancing. So the whole thing was just crazy, really. It felt like a miracle. And in that sense, that's why I work so hard, because I'm just so fucking grateful to be able to do what I do. And I should work really hard at it, because otherwise, what's the point?
It's a beautiful thing. Damon Albarn, before I let you go, I need to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss Australia? And there's only really one acceptable answer.
I really like Australia. I just like to have the opportunity to just do a bit of proper travel there, you know, because every time I go there, I really like to just get in a car and just drive out somewhere.
Are you doing an Australian accent? Is that what that is?
I don't know. Maybe a Kiwi accent. I don't know.
Well, look, when you get here, eventually...
Something Antipodean.
Eventually, once we get to the point where you can get back here, Damon, whether it's with gorillas or just on a holiday, like if you need to borrow a car, someone can probably sort you out. Yeah, a car. Yeah, we'll get you sorted out with a car. Actually, I also wanted to ask you the live experience, the gorillas live experience that you're setting up, which is coming up in December. Like, what can we expect from that? You know, Australians are going to be tuning in, I imagine, to check it out. Is it going to be something similar to previous shows?
If it goes ahead, if we're allowed to do it,
right.
Fingers crossed. I mean, it's very. I mean, there's no audience. That's so. Hopefully, you know, it's a huge stage that we're working on. Hopefully, they'll let us, but who knows? You know what I mean? But expect the animation to be right in there with the band on the stage, and sometimes playing with each other directly, and then people transforming into characters. And there's a lot of ideas on the table. How many will be in my head? I can tell you exactly what it's going to be like, but you know, that's sometimes translation. But I mean, we're trying to give people something they haven't seen before, so it's worth paying the money. You know what I mean? That's the basic idea. Can we deliver something that is worth its entry fee? You know what I mean? Which is the same in any concert, really. You know. And we're there to entertain.
Well, I hope it can go ahead,
I do as well.
Even if it can't, still, you know, thank you for the record and for the new music and for just powering
absolute
on
pleasure.
So relentlessly. It's so wonderful. Everything you do is filled with this sense of joy and discovery. So we really appreciate
Thanks.
It. We miss you in Australia.
Thank you. Well, I'll be back. I'll definitely be back next year. I'm sure I will.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's in my book.
It's in the book.
There is something booked, but fingers crossed. Absolutely. Lots of love.
All right. Thank you, Damon Albarn. Have a wonderful day.
Pleasure.
It is an enduring influence on me, an inspiration on me, because of that fire and that truth to the word.
Music makes you.
There's just so much beauty in this record. I just want to take this album and go and deliver it to everybody's house. Double J.